The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time to answer your questions about, well, current events, things about the Bible. If you've been sharing your faith, someone's asked you a question, or you've been studying and come across a question that you would have for us, 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. We'll do our very best to answer that for you. Joining me today, very special guest, Tom Barrett. And Tom is from Christian Financial Concepts, 8:30 in the morning here, Mountain Standard Time on Saturdays. He's got about 35 years investing experience, a doctorate in theology, as well as master's in counseling. And he's the academic dean at Palm Beach Bible College. Hi, and welcome, Tom.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
Good. I'm so glad to have you with us. So many things going on in the world. And wow, Tom, you know, I know you've spent a lot of time reviewing this, being a financial counselor and all the different things. You know, you can't help but realize this was a huge transfer of wealth into a ragtag army, making them probably the fourth most powerful army on earth with all the technology, all the hundreds of billions of dollars that we've given them. How is this going to affect us, Tom? What's it going to do to the world? And first of all, tell us a little bit about the Palm Beach Bible College. And then we're all anxious to know how this Afghan thing is going to affect all of us financially.
Well, just briefly, thanks for the chance to share about Palm Beach Bible College. We have a in-class campus where students come to us, but we also have students all over the world. For instance, a missionary couple that's working on their PhD in theology right now from Mozambique, and we do it on Zoom. So if anyone's interested, it's palmbeachbible.college, not .com. It's a new extension. It's .college. So palmbeachbible.college. Tell you all about it there, and we have classes in the evenings, very inexpensive. It costs about 10% of what it costs to go to a traditional Bible college. It's $50 a credit hour instead of $600 to $700. So we'd like to invite you to check us out, give us a call. The other thing that we do with Christian Financial Concepts, and then I'll stop with commercials. Every Monday night, we have some of the best teachers in the body of Christ that teach on our Monday night webinars. And we've had General Jerry Boykin, Dr. Peter Wagner, a good friend of mine, Rick Green, who's David Barton's right-hand guy, one of the best constitutional experts in the world. So we talk about biblical economics, but we'd also talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is the U.S. Constitution, which was drawn largely from the Bible. So we'd invite you to join those there every Monday, 9 to 8 o'clock Eastern. And if you just go to ChristianFinancialConcepts.com, then you can receive invitations to those. Love to have you.
Yeah, be really good. You know, again, when you look at everything and in the world, you know, I think Jesus said it well when he says, when you begin to see these things, look up, your redemption draws nigh. And he talks about the perplexity of nations in Matthew 24. It simply means problems globally with no way out. And I think we're seeing this all over. And now that we've equipped, the United States has equipped the foremost terrorist organizations in the world with state-of-the-art American weaponry, how is this going to not affect all of us in the free world?
Well, it's going to have effects, obviously, on our freedom and our safety, but also financial, huge financial impact, which is my specialty area. I'm a professor of biblical economics at a seminary. But let me just say, you know, in a nutshell, what Joe Biden has done is he has given the Islamic terrorist an aircraft carrier. I mean, what's the most powerful piece of equipment that you could have in the world? There are only less than 20 fully functional aircraft carriers in the world. None of them in the hands of communist or terrorist nations. Even as big as China is, they don't have an aircraft carrier. But now the Islamic terrorists have one. It's stationary. But as you said, Joe Biden has given them billions of dollars. They've given them trillions of dollars worth of state-of-the-art military equipment that they can use to attack us. And most important, and I don't think people have gotten this, I haven't heard much about this, but he's given them a platform. He's given them an entire country that they can use as a launching pad for the next 9/11.
It's really unbelievable why any person would do this kind of treason to a nation and then somehow try to repackage it by different spokespeople, different people in the government coming out saying, oh, this was such a brilliant idea. It went perfectly, this withdrawal from Afghanistan. It was a disaster, everyone. I don't care how much lipstick you put on this, it's still a pig. And this is the problem. And I'm amazed that in the name of journalism, why the American news media doesn't stand up and do something, but they're part of the system. And I think this is the big problem. And, you know, Trump always said he wanted to drain the swamp, but I think that he probably didn't realize the swamp was as big as the Atlantic Ocean. I think this is where the problems come in. We have serious problems, and now we have a fully equipped terrorist organizations better equipped than we in the United States pretty much have. And literally the $100 billion or more that now they're in possession of with all this, they're not going to just let it sit on a shelf. I'm pretty sure they're going to use it. They have pictures all over them holding up the weapons, you know, in the Humvees, all that kind of stuff. Joe Biden saying, oh, it was all demilitarized. No, Joe, it wasn't. None of it was. In fact, if anything, we gave them all the instruction manuals on how to use it. I don't know why.
It's all on computers.
Yeah.
So all they have to do is pull it up.
Yeah. I don't know how anybody. And by the way, Joe Biden, he says, now let me tell you this, or let me get this straight. Let me tell you straight. That's when the lie comes. And we've been fed lies nonstop, one right after another, all the American public. And then of course, the American news media massages it and shoves it down our throats. They're all in the same End America Club. Many people, we had a lieutenant colonel retired, and he says that he believes America will be dissolved by the end of Joe Biden's presidency. Now, friends, that's a pretty big statement, but when you realize that, what's our current debt load right now? We're way past 28 billion, a trillion right now. What's the current number? Do you know?
We're pushing 30 trillion, and if he passes everything he intends to pass, we'll be at around 33 to 34 trillion.
At what point does this happen where whoever is lending us this money or the printing presses are printing this money, does it not cause hyperinflation or a total economic collapse of our dollar? Realizing that we get so much of our stuff from China, imported goods, where they look at you and say, we don't want your paper anymore. There's no gold, no gross national product to even back up our dollars now. Where, you know, Tom, like you say, you've been doing this for 35 years. Where's the tipping point? What should we as Christians do? Now, I got a lot of questions. But as an example, if you have money in the bank, you know hyperinflation is going to take off. But you owe, $150,000 on your house. But you could pay your house off if you wanted to. Would you recommend waiting till hyperinflation takes over and then you pay the bank back with inflated dollars? Or would you be better off to just pay them off, get them out of your hair? What's your thoughts on some of these things? Because everybody doesn't know what to do. We as Christians, a lot of us, we don't know what to do. We base our information off of American news media, and that's totally unreliable. What do you do?
Well, to your specific question, I could write a check tomorrow and pay off my house. I wouldn't even dream of doing it because sometime, likely within the next year, we're going to see the U.S. dollar crash. It will become worthless. If somebody offers you a wheelbarrow full of $100 bills and the face value is $1 million, and they offer to sell it to you for 1 ounce of gold that you bought for $2,000, you'd be crazy to take that deal because the paper money will be worthless. So bottom line is you'll be able to go in to the bank with a very small piece of gold and pay off your entire mortgage. So it doesn't make sense to do that. What makes sense right now is to prepare. And the American people are getting smarter. 18 months ago when the Chinese attacked us, and I believe it was an intentional act of terrorism with the virus, only 2% of Americans own physical gold. Today, that figure has increased by 1,000%. So 20% of Americans have gotten wise. That's good because when the time comes, you walk into a store after the crash and you mention the national debt. That's what triggers crashes. In the last 25 years, 28 nations, modern nations, have had their currencies go in the toilet, literally. Their paper money is as worth as much as toilet paper. Mm. And every time that's happened, it's been triggered by a debt crisis. So we're at the place now where when Obama left office, 43 cents of every dollar was borrowed. Right now, it's 50 cents of every dollar. If Biden, I call him a Biden a lot of times because he's, in a sense, the third iteration of the Obama presidency. If Biden has his way, then it's going to be more like 53 to 54 cents. No nation has ever survived a debt load like that. In the book of Deuteronomy, where it talks about Israel, you know, lending to every nation and borrowing from none, we used to be that nation. We used to be a Deuteronomy nation. We were the most solid economy in the world. We loaned to everybody. Everybody wanted our currency. Today, China could flip a switch, sell its billions and billions of dollars worth of U.S. debt, and crush our economy in a heartbeat. So we have become an anti-Deuteronomy nation. So this is why I say that we're already in hyperinflation or right next to it. Hyperinflation is double-digit inflation, right?
Mm-hmm.
The real inflation rate now is about 9.5%. So we're right on the cusp of a Jimmy Carter-style hyperinflation. The hyperinflation that he engendered with his economic policies, and you notice everybody's referring to Biden as the next Jimmy Carter because he's doing the same things. We will see mortgage rates at 16 to 20% like we did under Jimmy Carter. We will see the gas lines like we did under Jimmy Carter. And in only 4 years, gold went up 600%. That wasn't because gold became more powerful. Gold is gold. Gold buys what gold will buy. It went up 600% because the dollar went down so much. And we're going to see that happen. So you're going to walk into a store one day and there's going to be a sign on the wall saying cash not accepted, credit cards not accepted, checks not accepted, only real money. And if you're not prepared, then you better be prepared to dig ditches and trade your labor for money.
You know, there's so much here that again, Tom, that all of us as Christians, we want to occupy till he comes. We want to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We want to protect our families. We all see the inflation going on right now. I mean, if you go down a tractor as an example, that was $28,000 3 months ago is now over $30,000. And yeah, if you were to order that tractor today, it's going to be $32,000, $33,000. They're going up almost $2,000 a month, every other month, $2,000. Because again, some point people are going to say, we don't want an American dollar that's not backed by gold, by silver, by the gross national product, by anything. We don't want it. What are we going to do then? Because when you figure all of our manufacturing is pretty much overseas, our tires, all these things, the first thing Joe Biden did when he got into office was to cut the Keystone Pipeline. Guess what? Oil doubled in the United States in 8 months. What did he think was going to happen? Well, I guess Joe doesn't like poor people very much because they're the ones that are having the hardest time with it. But see, when you do this kind of stuff, there's repercussions in no matter what we do, good or bad. It seems like everything this guy is doing is ending America and ending it fast.
But there's things we can do. We can't control the government. We can't make it go back in the gold standard. But we are already in hyperinflation. I did an article in Conservative Truth recently where I said that we're going to see a shocking increase in the number of vegetarians in this country. And it's not because people are becoming more health-minded. It's because they can't afford chicken and beef. They've gone up huge amounts. If you were planning on building a house or building an addition on your house, people are canceling millions and millions of building permits because the cost of lumber has gone up 350%, steel 600%, and so on. So we're already in hyperinflation, but the government lies about the percentage. They finally admitted recently that we were at a 5.1% inflation level. Well, why did they admit that when they've been lying for the last 30 years and saying it's 2 to 2.5%? It's because the real inflation rate is 9.5%. As I said, we're just about at that. It's interesting to use the word tipping point earlier because that's in my article this week. We're at that tipping point where we go from hyperinflation to runaway hyperinflation like we saw in Germany, like where people were burning billion-dollar notes because it was cheaper than buying firewood. So back to Afghanistan for a second. The title of my article in the webinar this Monday is How the Chaos in Afghanistan Will Worsen an Already Crumbling U.S. Economy. And the tagline, if you thought the Afghanistan war was expensive, wait until you get the bill for the Afghanistan peace. Because by taking away our ability to monitor and at least have a few thousand troops. He lied over and over again, said his generals told him we got to get everybody out. Privately, the generals and the admirals are saying we told him in no uncertain terms we had to leave at least 2,500 people there. So without any ability to monitor what's going on, the peace that we think we just bought is going to become a series of terrorist attacks, not just on the United States, but on Israel and on all our allies. And Joe Biden has made it possible. So you're right. It was treasonous. He should be impeached now. And as soon as he's out of office, he should be tried for treason. But in order for that to happen, of course, we have to take back, not we, the Republicans. I really, really don't care about Republican, Democrat. I care about Christian conservative versus demonic liberal.
Yeah, and the ongoing destruction of wherever they go. And like I say, there is no, if you sat down and logically set all politics aside, why would anybody give $100 billion in state-of-the-art technology to your sworn enemy? It makes no sense. How we got in Afghanistan, everyone, we will never forget, echoed the halls of America after we were bombed on 9/11. That's a 20-year anniversary tomorrow. We will never forget. Oh, friends, we not only forgot, we ridicule that, because the reason we're in Afghanistan was to break up the cell groups that were recruiting for these terrorist operations. But Joe Biden doesn't care. No, in fact, he gives them money, power, armament to destroy us. He should be impeached immediately and tried for treason afterwards, as well as anybody that lays their hand in favor of what he's doing. It just tells you fruit is known by the by where it's kept. And I'll tell you, when you have all these people giving a hearty amen to Joe Biden right now, you know they're for the destruction of your nation. And let me tell you something, everybody. There's not another country like America that's going to come to America's rescue when we're in trouble. China will come, but not to rescue you, to kill you and enslave you, just like they've done everywhere they've gone. And when you realize they're waiting and they're going to make their move on Taiwan, once Taiwan is taken, then they're going to make their move on Micronesia, New Zealand, Australia. Yeah, that's right. They're going to do what Japan was trying to do in the Second World War. This is according to the general that we had on here a couple of weeks ago. We got real issues. And the problem is that they're doing it on purpose. This is not a Biden, is this where you get lattes? No, this is on purpose to destroy
because
America.
They're globalists. They're globalists.
Yeah. And they got to destroy America. And they're, I got to tell you, you know, as long as we're here, we want to do the very best we can to be salt and light. But, you know, I'll tell you, Tom, being, you know, bringing light to these darkened corners is not popular. I mean, we got banned off of Facebook. You know, I mean, thought police. You know, do what you're told. You know, it's nothing more than Pravda. You know, the communist thing. They hate freedom of speech. They hate the Second Amendment. They hate states' rights. They hate that you're innocent till proven guilty. That way they can't whisk you off to a gulag someplace when you're a threat to them. This is the problem. And this is everywhere. And anybody that is trying to do this deliberately to a nation needs to be immediately removed. And please, American military, step in and do something while we still have a country. That would be my prayer, is that the American military, who I believe still has an honorable picture, please step in and stop this insanity. Nobody should give $100 billion worth of armament, abandon our own American citizens that were there serving American GIs. And Biden says, well, if you're in Afghanistan, it's your own fault. What?
Right. Right now, David Barton and Glenn Beck, at least as of a day or two ago, were in Afghanistan. They were gathering Christians together, putting them on aircraft to bring them out because they're the ones that are most in danger of being beheaded, tortured, raped, being held for ransom and so on. And Joe Biden's State Department would not allow their planes to take off because they were full of Christians. So this may sound like a little rabbit trail, but you ask about, you know, why people would do this. It's because they believe in globalism. You remember the 10 kings in the book of Daniel that bowed down before the one king?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did a video and it's a little complicated, but it's all about unions. The first union was the European Union. And this was where at the time it started off with six nations. Now it's 26 nations. Well, Great Britain has left, thank heavens. But they gave up sovereignty. Okay. First thing that happens when you lose your sovereignty is you give up your currency because now you have no control of your economy. And then eventually it got to the place where 82% of the laws that were being enforced in Great Britain were written in Brussels, not in England. So that was the first union. Since then, there have been other unions, a South American Union, an African Union. Most people have never heard of these things, but they exist. There's an Asian Union. And the 10th union, if it happens this way, will be the North American Union. The start of that was NAFTA. They wanted to merge the United States, Mexico, whose values is totally different than ours, and Canada into one nation. If you see that happen, if you see the North American Union, that will be the 10th of the 10 kings that will bow down before the beast, before the one king. And in order to do that, a nation like America, we're not going to give up our sovereignty easily. So how does that happen? They tear us down. They make us weak, morally, financially, in every other way, so that we're then willing to accept some Messiah that would come in and promise to fix everything.
Coming up on a break, we'll have more right after this.
Emmy was in a bad relationship when she found out she was pregnant. Her boyfriend told her to get an abortion, which she seriously considered.
I knew that if I got an abortion, a part of me would be broken.
Emmy went to a preborn center in need of guidance.
They honestly were able to put every fear at ease and let me know that it was going to be okay. I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here.
Preborn clinics introduce moms in crisis to their babies through ultrasound while providing hope, love, and the gospel in action. When an expectant mother sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she is 80% more likely to choose life for her baby. To learn how you can rescue a baby's life, just go to csnradio.com. That's csnradio.com. And click on the preborn banner or call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-2229. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on nearly 400 stations across the nation, including over 20 stations in Washington alone. You can listen in Assotin, Enumclaw, Mount Vernon, Moses Lake, Port Angeles, and many more stations throughout Washington and the nation. For the station nearest you, log on to csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
CSN International. Inspired worship from the hearts of believers. This is CSN International.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of Jeremy Mananetzer on this Friday afternoon as we wrap up this week with Tom Barra and from Christian Financial Concepts. He's a speaker here at 8:30 in the morning on Saturdays, and I'm so glad he's with us on the program today. Again, we realize that the shenanigans that are going on in Washington, D.C. right now, treasonous, is really putting it pretty mildly. With that, we'll go ahead and go to the phones. We have Larry on the line, Tucson, Arizona. Hi, and welcome.
Yes, sir. Good job, guys. I have a question on our financial. When we go digital cash, what will happen to our gold and silver? Will they recall it like they did before, or what's the story?
Laurie, great question. Your thoughts, Tom?
Okay, first of all, we're already on a digital currency. Only about 6% of all U.S. money is printed. They show the pictures on TV all the time of the printing presses. That's smoke and mirrors. It's all created by little nerds sitting behind a computer someplace. And if they want an extra $50 billion, they just create it out of thin air. So we're on a digital currency now. They didn't recall the money. They stole the money. In 1933, FDR, look up Executive Order 6102. I've been a pastor 45 years, and I always tell people when I'm preaching, don't believe it because I say it. Look it up in the Bible. So look this up. Executive Order 6102. FDR confiscated 40% of the wealth of the nation by taking the gold. But they can't do that today. Think about it. There are about 150 billion households in the United States of America. If the army were 10 times the size that it is now, it couldn't search all those households. So they're going to depend on the people being sheeple like they were in 1933. People are smarter. Like I said, we've gone from 2% of Americans owning physical gold, not having gold stocks or gold certificates or gold mutual funds. Those will do you no good in a crash. You need to have the yellow stuff. But we've gone up 1,000% in people being smart enough to have physical gold. And what are they doing with it? They're hiding it. So when you buy precious metals, that's the last financial transaction you'll ever be able to do. It's not reported someplace. What you don't want to do is buy gold in an IRA, because then you're painting a big red X on it and you're telling the government that you own gold. So no one outside your household should know that you have gold. I have a video I can send you called Hiding Your Valuables. It's got dozens of different creative ways to hide your cash, your gold, your passport, things that are really important that will keep them safe. Because frankly, the banks are not safe. One thing, I'll just throw this in for free. If you go down to the bank tomorrow and deposit $10,000 in the bank, you probably think you deposited $10,000 in your account and that it's your money and that you can get it whenever you want to. That has not been true since 2011 when the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve got together and did a plot that was almost as bad as a Federal Reserve system, which created fake money before we had real money backed by gold. Well, today, if you deposit money in a bank, you are lending money to that bank. Let that sink in just for a second. You didn't deposit money in your own account. You lent the money to the bank. If you're one of the 12 people in the United States, including myself, that has actually read the agreement that you signed when you opened your bank account, you know that that's true. If you look at the financial statement of the bank, you'll see that $10,000 as a credit to the bank and as a debit to you. In other words, they owe you that money. So what's worse than having money that you think is yours owned by the bank? It's sort of like the question, what's worse than biting into an apple and finding a worm? it's finding half a worm. So what's worse is this. Without getting too complicated, the Federal Reserve System cannot possibly back all the deposits in the country. It's as federal as the Federal Reserve System. It's only administered by the federal government. It's funded by the banks. So it almost ran out of money in 08. So what they've done now with this new banking system that they've basically kept secret from the public is, in addition to you loaning money to the bank, they've made it convertible to stock. So the what's worse than the worm is that half worm. If the Fed runs out of money, the banks would no longer fund it. The Fed can't, the federal government can't fund it. So what they will do is they'll convert your loan to stock in the bank. So what's worse than owning a note that a bankrupt bank owes you money is having stock in a bankrupt bank. Because the Fed can insure money, it cannot insure stock. Nobody can. So basically your money in the bank is not yours. That's why I get calls every week from people saying, Dr. Tom, I have $10,000 I need to get rid of, or I've got $50,000 and whatever. And I'll say, well, I'll come right over with my trash can. But I know what they're talking about. Your money in the bank is not safe. The government can take it at any point, like it's done in Cyprus and other countries in Europe. It's being depleted by inflation. You're losing every 4 years, you're losing about 20% of your money. And it's not insured like you think it is. So please do yourself a favor. Look for other ways to protect your assets, because in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, it's not all about the guy being fearful and burying his money in the ground. It's also about the two faithful servants who did what God told them to do, which was to grow the money or grow the assets. And the talent, of course, was a bag of gold. So we have two commandments there. One is keep it safe. The other is to grow it for his kingdom. Because when the crash comes, the missionaries that we're supporting right now are not going to have support. A lot of people are going to be using their money to take care of feeding their kids. So it's going to be up to people like us who've had the sense to prepare to support those missionaries, to support our families, to support people in our churches, elderly people that can't go out and dig ditches or grow potatoes. So a bank is not a safe place to keep money.
And I think what goes along with this, and you know, again, Tom, you know, when you say, well, if you had the money in the bank to pay off your house and you don't pay off your house because you're saying, well, it's all going to inflate. But if the bank you have your money in crashes, then you lose your ability to pay your house off. What do you do then?
Well, if the bank crashes, who's going to be around to foreclose on your house?
Well, a different bank. You know, if you have, you know, in other words, yeah. If you have your loan with, you know, Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae or one of these other, banks, and then you have your money in a local bank, for instance, and they go under, you would have been better off to pay off your house, than to let it get seized or taken away or something like that. What's your thoughts? Because I think a lot of people, this is what we're all concerned about. We know hyperinflation is going to hit. We know that what is, you know, a set of tires, for instance. I mean, I talked to a guy yesterday. He says, it's really weird. I went to buy tires for my car. They're $100 more for a set than they were a few months ago. I go, you ain't seen nothing yet. What this is going to translate into. So do we buy roughly what we need? You know, you can buy gold, But again, you can't eat it. I tell people, if you can't afford to buy gold, then buy silver. If you can't buy silver, buy lead. But there's always something you can invest in for the days to come. But what about silver as an example, or some other other than gold? Your thoughts?
Well, everyone should read the 10-10-10 Financial Survival Plan. Okay, you can find that on ChristianFinancialConcepts.com. ChristianFinancialConcepts.com. Just go to articles and search for the 10-10-10 plan, or send a contact to the website. First of all, silver is not cheaper than gold. Is $100 bill more expensive than 100 singles? They're worth the same. It's silver is cheaper by the piece. The difference is this. Time is going to come when there's going to be bad guys with guns running around trying to get your stuff. And it's a lot easier to hide and store gold than it is silver. Silver is 70 times heavier and 70 times bulkier. In the 10-10-10, I do recommend having silver for everyday expenses. It's a scriptural plan, because in the Bible, the words that are translated money are the words silver or gold in most cases. If it's transactional, buying small things, food, clothing, it's the word silver if you put it in the Strong's. If you see buying land or larger purchases, that is the word gold. But the point is that, no, you can't eat gold, nor can you eat Federal Reserve notes. But today you can exchange Federal Reserve notes for whatever you want to buy. And during the crash, you can exchange gold. You don't exchange it. It's not a barter item. Same with silver. You spend it. Think about this, Pastor Mike. For 6,000 years, gold and silver have been the only money. And it's only been in the last two generations that the government and the bankers have conned us into thinking that toilet paper is money. So you'll be able to buy anything that you need with gold or silver. But I want to caution everybody, don't put your confidence in the gold or silver, or you mentioned lead. I was asked to speak at a survival conference once, and my topic was the three precious metals, gold, silver, and lead. So, yeah, bullets will actually become a tradable commodity, but gold and silver will be the only money. And with that, you can buy anything you need. But the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. So if you look on YouTube and look at my video there called The Ultimate Survival, I know people who got garages full. They built extra buildings on their property and filled them with food and medical supplies and bullets and everything you can imagine. But what if they're prepared for 5 years and the hyperinflation lasts 10 years? At some point, you have to depend on the Lord. So don't put your trust in the things, but do be sensible. The Bible, I'm paraphrasing here, of course, but the Bible says if you go to battle, no king worth the salt is going to go to battle without knowing the enemy that he's facing. Our enemy is inflation, and inflation is here. We are already, as Pastor Mike has mentioned several times, we're already in inflation, but we're going to see hyperinflation probably within the year. And when that happens, we're going to see things happen like happened in Argentina. Argentina, the fifth largest economy in the world, almost overnight, the people lost confidence in the money, as they will the U.S. dollar. There's never been a paper currency that's ever survived. And then they're going to go out and just buy anything they can. It doesn't matter if it's a can of shoe polish or a toilet paper brush, a toilet, a toilet brush that you clean the toilet with, anything physical is going to be worth twice as much in a day as the money loses its value. So you don't depend on the paper money for sure. You don't depend on having enough stuff to survive with. You don't even depend on gold and silver. You depend on the Lord, who is Jehovah Jireh, who has promised to take care of his children.
We're in for some crazy stuff, and hope that answered it for you. Let's go to Jim, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you very much for your service and all that you do. I listen to you quite often. My question is, with all this stuff going on, I mean, you know, you listen to one news, it's this, one news, it's this, what's going on? I'm just a redneck. I live out in Hauser, Idaho. I work in a factory, and I hear this stuff where Biden's going to mandate vaccines for all government employees. I don't know if that's true or not. And then I hear that the labor board or whatever they're called is going to demand that every employer under $100 or 100 people employees. Over 100 people is going to mandate the vaccine. And what do a guy like me do? You know, how do we have contacted the attorney that you talk about on your show?
Yeah, Brad Dinkins.
But what, as Christians, I mean, do we just get our guns and go to town on these people? Why isn't the U.S. Supreme Court coming through to Biden and say, hey, you can't do this?
Or is I think they will. I think they have in the past. This is why Biden wants to stack the court, which essentially then our country's gone. If he stacks the court, he has no regard for American law. And then we know clearly, according to our forefathers, who the enemy is to overthrow our form of government. I'm a government keeping guy. I'm loyal to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I am not loyal to the Communist Party that's infiltrated and now running our country. Whatever this is, the socialist one world order, name it whatever you want to name it. But this is not about us anymore. This is about some kind of dark, well thought through scheme to overthrow our form of government. You know, Tom, what do you do?
Well, I'm a Marine, and I swore an oath to protect and defend this country. I'm not anti-government, but I am definitely anti-stupid government. I'm anti-corrupted government. And the Founding Fathers provided a remedy. And I know that it's not something people want to hear, but there may come a time when things get so bad that they're rounding up Christians or anyone who disagrees with Biden or whoever the, you know, current supposed elected official is, and persecutes the people in so badly that we may have to make use of the Second Amendment. By the way, folks, there were 12 items in the original Bill of Rights that were brought down to 10. And all of those are still in force. Just because they say the Constitution's a living document doesn't take away our rights. And there's a reason why the Second Amendment is there. It's not to protect our rights to go out and hunt. It's not even for self-defense. I mean, that's part of it. But read it. It says a well-regulated militia is essential. Every single country that has taken away the guns from the people has become a totalitarian government. And if you go back a few hundred years, what we call the Revolutionary War was not a revolutionary war. It was a civil war. Okay, we were British subjects. We were part of the British crown, and we rebelled against the crown. We don't like to call it a civil war because then that's not polite. That's not woke. But the fact is that we said, okay, George III, the crazy king, you've gone too far, and we are not going to stand with your tyranny anymore. And we took up arms against a tyrannical government. And the founding fathers anticipated that we might have to do that again. I hope and I pray, don't take anything I'm saying here the wrong way. I hope and I pray every day that that time will never come. I hope that we can handle it through the courts. But one of the things that I like to share with my Bible college students is the fact that there is no such thing as a co-equal three branches of government. The one branch of government that the founding fathers intended to be the premier and most powerful branch was the legislature. And maybe some other time we can talk about that. The executive branch works for the legislature, just like I'm the chairman of the board of a prison ministry. Mike is chairman of CSN. I'm sure he has a board, but the board sets the policy and the executive carries out the policy. The president of the, who claims to be president of the United States today, is taking the place of the Congress and basically making them irrelevant. As far as the Supreme Court, they're designed by the founders to be the weakest branch of government. For instance, Roe v. Wade, Congress could have said to the Supreme Court, they had the constitutional authority to say, you cannot hear this case because it is a state's right case. This is not a federal case. But the reason we have Roe v. Wade and so many other horrible laws, including laws that made it illegal for women to vote, that made it legal for people to own slaves and so on, is because the Supreme Court got it wrong. So we can't depend on the Supreme Court to be our savior. Quick rhetorical question. Whose job is it to interpret the Constitution? 99% of people will say the Supreme Court. No, it's every one of our jobs to interpret the Constitution. When Congress writes a law, they have to determine whether it's constitutional or not. They don't pass a law and then wait for the Supreme Court to give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. When the president vetoes or signs a law, he is determining whether it's constitutional or not. So the Supreme Court has a very, very narrow role. If you look at the enumerated rights in the Constitution, the Supreme Court has only a very, very small number of rights. The executive branch has four times as many rights, and the legislature has four times as many rights as the executive. So the executive is supposed to be making these decisions. O'Biden, on his own, yes, you're right, did. It's not going to. He did mandate that every federal employee has to be vaccinated or face dire consequences. Then he took it farther, and he said that every federal contractor, and his exact words, if you want to do business with the federal government, you get vaccinated. Now he's asked OSHA to come up with some concocted plan to, OSHA's the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, who's supposed to make sure that workplaces are safe. He's ordered them to come up with some plan that will allow the government to require everybody who's regulated by OSHA, which is almost every business in the country, to require vaccinations. We have the President of the United States encouraging businesses to require all their employees, because he doesn't have the authority to do that, but he's encouraging them to do it. So I'm writing an article right now that's called Costco Requires All employees to have abortions. Well, of course, that's not going to happen, but Costco has required all their employees to get a vaccination. What's the difference? If they can force you to have a vaccination.
To do one thing, they'll force you to do something else. You know, I read an article yesterday. It says that Joe Biden is declaring war on DeSantis and Abbott, the governors of Texas and Florida. You know, Joe, why don't you declare war on Afghanistan and stop fighting Americans, please? We're all out of time. Thank you so much, Tom. We look forward to having you back. God bless you and have a safe weekend.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian satellite network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.